My mother used to sit in this church, and when I was sitting in the wrong place next to the wrong boys, she'd always go, what that meant was, get up and come over and sit by me. And one night she did that, and I looked at her and I went, she said, and I'm going, I can't, I'll disrupt the service. I already was. So didn't, but yeah, if she went, that meant get up, come do what I said right now. It's good to be here tonight. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to try to put up a show for anybody tonight. I covet your prayers and appreciate the ones I've gotten already. And tonight, we'll have prayer here in a little bit. I just kind of want to share my heart with you. What's been happening over the weekend, and practically everybody knows. But anyway, God's been dealing with me about a lot of things over this. And anytime you're brought low, that is what God is going to do if you're one of His. And you might be surprised. That might be one of the reasons why God brought you down there to begin with. And I can tell you that in my life, when I get too far up here, God says, "Now we're gonna come down a little bit." And I like that about my Father, my Heavenly Father, and my earthly Father. He brought me down a notch or two in His own way. But anyway, God's just been dealing with me about a lot of things and laying some scripture on my heart and just spent some time with the Lord and visiting with Him. And I'm glad I can do that. Amen. I'm glad that I have an advocate with my Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And so I'll just tell you a little bit about, what happened. And it was just a weird week last week. I try to go over my mom and dad's once a week for breakfast and just to visit with them. And so I don't neglect that. And I always have like a little string of little projects that I do at mom and dad's house. It's not anything big or major, but it's just something that keeps me going over there. Okay. They've had some drywall repairs that needed to be done, and I'm just making sure I only do like one little thing at a time. And I'll say, now that's got to dry before I can do anything to it. That'll get me back over there the next week for fried eggs, bacon, buttered toast, and oatmeal with roasted almonds in it. If you've never had that, you need to try that. That's pretty good. And so I had a good visit with Dad Tuesday, had good time with him, good breakfast, and we just talk about little things here and there. And Tuesday, I don't remember what time it was, 11:30 or something like that, my mom called me, and she said, "Son," she said, "can you do me a favor?" I said, "What?" She said, "Can you go check on your dad? I can't get a hold of him, and I'm worried about him." And Mom, I sure will. And I got up right then and I left and I drove out to their house. And I noticed his truck was gone. And I thought, well, he's probably gone somewhere. And my dad, didn't get around a whole lot. He was real hobbly from just years of diabetes and just different things that's happened to him. But if he took a notion, he'd get out. So I noticed the truck was gone. I went in the house. Of course, his TV was on and his chair was, his chair light was, everything like he had just got up. And I thought, well, okay. And he owns a little rental property just down the road. It's where we used to live. And I called Mom and I said, "He's not here. His truck's gone. I'm going to go check down there." She said, "Okay." So I drove down there. It's not too far. I drove down there and I saw his truck in that driveway, the rental property. And I went, got him, So I went to the door of this house. I knocked on it, and I heard my dad's voice in there. Norm, I think you got company. And I said, no, Dad, you do. Oh, well, he opened the door. And I said, Mom, you know, couldn't find you. She was kind of worried about you. She said, well, I'm in here fixing Norm's, I think it was the furnace filter. And I said, oh, I said, I kind of thought it was something like that. And he said, well, why didn't she call my phone? He pulled it out, you know. Well, when I called Mom, she said, why didn't he answer his phone? You know, so I don't know who was right in that situation. I remember on the way out to Dad's Tuesday to look for him, thinking, Lord, is this it? Am I going to go in that house and find my dad sitting there? And that really got a hold of me. And I thought, I don't know if I'm ready for this, Lord. I don't know that I am. And but anyway, he got to do that Tuesday. He's got an old red Chevrolet 1966 pickup truck. He's had that in car shows, and he's got trophies. And Mom don't know what she's going to do with all the trophies now. She said, do you want them? I said, no, I don't want them. But that was his baby. That was his retirement benefit. And Mom said that he had, it kind of wasn't running right, but he finally got it going enough. And he said, Judy, let's take this thing for a ride. And that was Wednesday. He got to go for a ride in his old truck. And so Wednesday night, he had come down sick. He'd had a real high fever and wasn't feeling good. And Mom was saying, you need me to take you to the hospital? No, I'll be all right. And Thursday morning, on my way over here to the church, my sister called me and she said, Mike, can you meet us at the emergency room? Their ambulance is here working on Dad now. They think he might have had a heart attack. And I said, yeah, and I wasn't too far from the church. I stopped in here real quick and told Gary what I was doing and went over to the hospital. I mean, it's just right over here. And actually beat the ambulance there. Well, I saw him take him out, and he was sitting up. And so I waited for Mom to pull in, and she come in, and I walked her in there, and we went in there, and he was complaining, and his legs were real numb, and they were thinking maybe he was having a heart attack. They gave him some, what is that, nitroglycerin there in the ambulance, and it didn't really change anything. And he was complaining of a lot of pain, severe pain in his back. And anyway, from the moment, you know, we got there, it just seemed like things just went from bad to worse. And at one point, the Lord just laid it on my heart and said, pray over him, pray with him. And I got to do that while my dad was still awake. He was in a lot of pain, but I got to pray with my daddy. What turned out to be just within probably about 10 or 15 minutes before, he just crashed there on the table, and they started working with him, and they actually, they would, you know, we saw him go under, and me and my mom, and I'd put her out in the hallway, and they were doing CPR and everything, and there was about four different times that they had to do that. They kept working on him, and they'd get a pulse, and then he would go again. They'd work on him some. About the third time, I said, Lord, that's enough. That's enough. Okay? They worked on him, what, about an hour, hour and a half, something like that. And finally, they think that maybe during the night, sometime early in the morning, he was having some real severe vomiting problems. And the idea is he either had an aneurysm that ruptured, or he ruptured something. There was a lot of acid in that was just destroying everything. And so they think something along those lines. You know, we didn't ask for an autopsy. You know, when God says, let's go, let's go. And so anyway, you know, he passed away. And I appreciate, I want to say to you folks here, I'm glad I have friends. that are closer to me than anybody in this world. And you people mean a lot to me, and I appreciate everything that you've done. I appreciate everything you've offered to do. And from that point forward, I haven't been Pastor Mike. Okay, and I decided that right then. I'm not Pastor Mike for a while. And a lot of people that may be watching tonight, you've sent me emails. I've looked at them. Okay. I appreciate all the condolences, emails, and too many to count. But I've read every one of them, and I really, really appreciate it. And so if you had something really important to say to me, and you sent it Saturday, send it again. So, but anyway, I appreciate what everybody's done and what you all mean to me. Bob Tebow, Dad's pastor, called me that Thursday, and he said, Mike, he said, that was your dad. You're a preacher. He said, I'll be glad to sit on the sidelines and root for you the whole way. And I said, Bob, can't do it. I said, I can't do it. And I said, he said, are you sure? And I said, yeah, I'm positive on this one. And I said, I'm going to put it in your hands. And I said, Dad had a lot of respect for you. And I said, you were his friend. And I said, I really appreciate that. My dad was raised in a godly home, good parents, good, decent Arkansas people, and was taught right from wrong. And at one point in his life, when he was 12 years old, he went to the altar and professed a faith in Jesus and was baptized at First Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Arkansas. He took a different turn in his life, and I knew a lot of my dad's faults, okay? And I'm okay with that, because that's my dad. Amen? And you might know your parents' faults, may never talk to them about it, but you might know them, but that's still your mom and dad. Amen? And but anyway, he was a good dad to me. He really was. Taught me how to fish. I'm not the best fisherman in the world, but he taught me some things. I think I could go out and do it again if I had to. He taught me how to know when you hit a deer. There's a way to know, and if you don't know the way, you'll make a mistake. And that came in the first time I ever shot at a deer. That thing jumped straight up in the air, and then when it landed, it just started walking off like it had come down. Like, and I'm going, I don't think I shot him, but my dad told me I did. Now, when you listen to this, there's a lesson to this. When your dad tells you something here, you just believe what he said. Okay? Because, Antonio, I watched that thing jump straight up in the air. And Dad always told me, he said, you always tell when you hit one, he'll jump straight up in the air. And he said, the next thing you do is, against your own judgment, don't move. You sit for about 15 minutes, okay? One old guy at the deer camp one time said, smoke a cigarette or do it. And I'm going, no, I'm only 16. I'm not going to do that. And anyway, Dad said, you just sit and wait. And if he walks off, he's going to walk off, lay down, and bleed to death. If you jump him, you'll spook him, and they'll run. You'll never find him again. And I found out my dad was right. And God just teaches you lessons in life. Amen. You just trust him. Trust what he says against your own thinking. You trust what he says. And so anyway, just taught me a lot of things. And he tried to teach me about cars. That never worked. I don't like cars. He liked cars. And he did all kinds of stuff with them. He used to drag race, you know, there in Jacksonville. And he used to do all kinds of stuff. That just wasn't my interest. But he taught me a lot of things. And he loved me to death. And he loved his family. And Mom reminded me of something that I had forgotten all about. See, I knew there was a change in my dad's life, but just over time, you know, all of a sudden he's going back to church, and he used to really love to drink 905 beer. Now, if you're not from St. Louis, you don't know what that is, but if you're from around here, that was one of them local, I mean, you can count on 905 to be cheap, amen? Okay, and I mean, he used to really like that, and that was a real hang-up for him. And I remember Sterling on the way down to West Plains going deer hunting. You and him was in the front. I was just kind of laying in the back. And I heard my dad say to you, he said, if the Lord hadn't delivered me from beer drinking, he said, I'd be dead right now. And I went, my dad said that. It's amazing. I can remember the first time I ever heard my dad say amen while I was preaching. And I want to tell you what, I mean, the doodads went all up and down to me. And what a blessing it was. But my mom is the one who actually reminded me of something that I had forgotten about. She said, son, do you remember that day? And I said, what? She said, you came home from Bible college. And I don't know how the conversation got started, but all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost got all over Dad. He got under conviction about everything he had done in his life. And I sat there next to him and I said, Dad, wouldn't you like to give your life to the Lord and just live for him? And he said, yeah, I believe I would. I had forgotten all about that until Mom reminded me of it. And I prayed there with him. And I remember being there, remember doing it, but I don't remember much about it. And but anyway, I have zero doubt. I love this Bible more than I love anything in this world. And if I knew enough about this Bible, knew enough about my dad that he was not in heaven, I could not tell you this, and I wouldn't. But I know where he is tonight. I know exactly where he is tonight, and I have zero doubts about that whatsoever. Him being my dad doesn't mean zip as far as his relationship with the Lord and is his sins forgiven. But he called upon the name of the Lord, and God saved him. And it just because he was not a Holy Ghost filled shouting Pentecostal overnight, that does not mean he's not saved. Amen? Amen. And that was brought out at the funeral, and I appreciate Brother Bob doing that. But I did get a chance, and the Lord just kind of held me up and prepared me for this, on what to say. We had the funeral here at Mom and Dad's church Saturday, and then Sunday, the whole family, we all loaded up, and we drove down to Arkansas, and we waved to everybody in Pocahontas, Jimmy. They just... Okay, and anyway, we drove down there, and the gravesite ceremony was at a little town called Enola, Arkansas. There's a little cemetery next to a Baptist church, Marcus Hill Baptist Church, and that area, Enola and Mayflower and just sort of that area, central Arkansas, is where all of us hoggards originate from. That's just farmland and just a lot of dirt and trees and cows and farms, and that's where my family comes from. My great-grandmother, Lorinda Hoggard, was a member of Marcus Hill. I believe I'm getting this right, Marcus Hill Baptist. I may not be totally right on this. But anyway, there are several Hoggards in that old church cemetery. And my great-grandma and my great-grandpa Hoggard are buried there. And then back in 1990, we buried my dad's mom and dad. They both died in the same year within months of each other. That's what true love will do for you. Amen. When one leaves, that's what my peepaw told my meemaw. He told her, go ahead. I give you permission to go on. Because she hung on and hung on and hung on. And he said, I'll be with you shortly. And she died in September of 90, and peepaw died in December of 90. And we buried them both down there. And but mom and dad had always told me, he said, we've got plots down there. When we die, that's where we're going. I wasn't sure about that for a while, but I like it. I like it. And so we went down to that cemetery, and there was my dad there, and there was a lot of family from that area, a lot of Hoggards and that, some that I had seen, you know, as a child of this and that, and I knew them. And God just laid some verses on my heart, and I'll just share them with you tonight just for a few minutes. In Psalm chapter 1, I put this in the bulletin that we made up for the funeral. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. This has got to be one of my favorite psalms. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. His delight is in the law of the Lord. That means when you're sitting in that church service and your son's preaching the word of God, you amen that. And it's not because it's your son preaching, it's because you know that that's of God and you are in agreement with that and that's your delight. And then verse 3, the reason why this came to my mind was, verse 3 says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Well, two things my dad knew a lot about. He knew a lot about trees and gardens and plants, and He's one of these. We'd go out in the woods and he'd say, now go over there next to that elm tree. And I'd go, Dad, there's 50 trees that you just pointed in that. He said, the elm right over there. Okay, you know, I didn't pay much attention to that, but he knew an elm and an oak and he knew all those trees. He liked to plant trees. He liked pine trees an awful lot. And he liked to plant trees and he liked to do things with trees, and so he knew a lot about trees. But he knew about rivers too. He was a Corps of Engineers dredging inspector for the United States government on the Mississippi River. And he knew a lot about the river. He knew how it worked, and he knew a lot about river boats and this and that and the other. That was his life. It was his interest. And at one time, when I was a teenager, I wanted to follow in his footsteps. That's what I wanted to do. And my Heavenly Father said, I got something better for you. And so I went along with that, and he was right. But he knew a lot about the river, and he knew a lot about trees. And I want you to notice that it says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And God began to deal with me about this idea of what it is that we do when we close a casket lid and stick that thing in the ground. That is not a burial. That's a planting. Okay, we'll never grasp the wisdom of God in this world. But he is very wise, and he gives us these examples. Because when you take a seed, okay, that's exactly what you do. You plant that rascal, okay? You bury it. And we expect it to do what God designed it to do. And so turn real quick to Psalm 126. And God was just kind of piecing this thing together for me, and it was all of the Lord, and I can't take any credit for it. I've had some people that told me that was a fantastic message I gave, and I just said, I appreciate that, but that was the Lord. Psalm 126, verse 1, I'll tell you a little story. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like unto them that dream. And I've made this statement, and I'll continue to make this statement. There's an old fellow in this church by the name of Lee Walsh. When Lee Walsh was about ready to die, God told him he knew it. And I went into the hospital room there with him. And he said, Mike, I'm glad you're here. I want to pray and just make sure that I'm ready to go. And I thought, I didn't think he's that sick. And he died that evening. And I was with Bob Fiedler the day that he died there at the hospital. And what was going to end up just being a routine test, he ended up dying on the table. And but while we were in the room with him, he just said, I just want everybody to know in case anything happens to me. He said, I know where I'm going if I die today. And when he died that day, I thought, Lord, this Bible's right. God's people know. They may not be able to articulate it. There was a man who lived across the road from us growing up. His name was James Bonds. I'm not making that up. That was his name, James Bonds. James Bonds had leukemia real bad, and he had left two boys and a wife. And he was our next door neighbor. It was his wife that got my mom going to this church. But neither one of them really were right with the Lord, especially James. He was just an old, he worked at a factory up here, just an old working man. And but there laying in the hospital dying of leukemia, the preacher went up there and led him to the Lord, and he got saved, and he got saved, I mean good saved. And the night that he died, and I'll never forget my mom telling this, and she remembers it to this day. He was laying there in that bed dying, and he said, do you hear that? And they were going, what? And he said, isn't that pretty? And they were, what? He said, that is the prettiest music I've ever heard in my life. He said, I hear singing, and I hear trumpets. And he said, that is the prettiest thing I've ever heard in my life. Okay? And I believe Steve knew. Steve knew. Without a doubt in my mind, that man knew. And my dad told my mom last week, he said, I had last night the most peaceful dream I've ever had in my life. And he said, me and you were out by a river. And he said, there was people all around us. And he said, I didn't know any of them. But he said, they were all smiling. He said, they were all happy. And he said, just what they were saying was just so peaceful. And it just seemed like, he said, it was the happiest moment I've ever experienced in my life, this dream that I had. And he said, I'm still feeling the peace now from that deal. Okay? When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Okay? And my dad knew. He may not have been able to say it, but he knew. And then once you look at verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And I laid my hand on the head of that casket. I'm going to tell you something. I have stood at the head of caskets, many of them. I've performed the services of a minister, both for saved and lost people. I'd rather do it for saved people, but I'll do it for lost people too and preach the gospel. But I've stood at the head of that casket many a time. And this time was different. Okay? You have that verse handy real quick. I'm going to turn to it here in a minute. This time was different for me because I knew the man that was there. And I recognized him. And, you know, you go through stages of like grief, and part of that is anger. And I never was angry at God. I was just mad. He does not belong in there. That's not where he's supposed to be. And I was mad about that. But I stood at the head of the casket, and I had my hand there just kind of clutching the head of the casket. And I told him, I said, I'm going to tell you what God's told me about this thing. I said, this is not a casket, and this is not just a body. This is a seed. And I said, we have cried over this. We have wept over this. And our tears have just run down our face. Saturday, I had to get alone. And I got alone. And I tell you what, I let some stuff out of me. I hurt when I got done. I was aching when I got done. But I said, this is a seed. We're not going to bury this thing. We're going to plant this seed. We're going to do it in tears. If you've ever stood there with somebody that you've loved, you sow in tears. Amen, Jared? You sow in tears. Okay? Now, look at this. They that sow in tears might reap in joy. That is not what that says. Shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. We see, we've always used this verse to talk about how, you know, we ought to go soul winning, ought to pray for lost people. And that is one application of this verse. But God showed me this, that is exactly what we're doing. Okay? We're going forth and we're weeping and we're bearing it. And there was nobody that I've ever preached a funeral for more precious to me than my daddy laying in that coffin there. He was very, very precious to me. And I loved him. And you go look in one wall of my office belongs to him. Has for years. Okay? And but he was very, very precious to me, to his little boy. And but it says that he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And I said this, and I'll say it to you tonight, just as a testimony to you. As hard as it was, Robert, my brother-in-law, took care of all the funeral and everything like that. And he asked me, he said, Mike, he said, you know, when we're all done, would you like to help me close the casket? And first thing out of my mouth was no. And I walked away and got with some family members, some old hoggards that I knew from as a child, and they were up visiting my great-grandma and my grandpa. And I just visited with them a while, and God just put a different spirit on me. When I came back down that hill, I said, Robert, I said, yeah, I can do this. And as hard as it was for me to close the lid on my daddy, I did it gladly because of what I know that this book says. I did it gladly. You see, it's like my dad standing there telling me, if you hit it, if you shoot at a deer and he jumps up in the air, you got him. When that deer, I mean, this was a nice, this was an 8-pointer. My first deer was an 8-pointer, okay? And it took me years after that to even hit another one, okay? I mean, I'm not just not the good hunter that my dad walk out on opening day of deer season, sit down for 15 minutes, bam, and he's done. And I'd sit for days, okay, wondering what I'm doing wrong. He just had a knack for it. And I'll tell you this, part of it was his daddy grew up in a time where you hunt and fished and grew to eat. And when he got married to my mom, they lived on this old, I mean, they lived on the backside of a levee near a cotton field. I remember that to this day. And mom told us, she said, if your dad didn't hunt, fish, and grow, we would have starved to death. He'd go out, if he went out to kill rabbits, he'd come back with rabbits. He went out to kill squirrels, he'd come back with squirrels. If he went out to kill turkey, he'd come back with a turkey. Okay? And deer was the same way. But he told me, he said, if you hit that deer, and that thing jumps up in the air, he said, you got him. And I shot that thing from a tree, and it was just walking down the hill. And when it got to a place, I shot, and he went straight up in the air and come back down and started walking off. And my mind was telling me, you missed that rascal. You missed him. But my dad told me, you got him. And the decision that I made at that moment was, I'm going to trust my dad. Okay, and the decision that I made Monday was to trust my father. And I sowed with tears, knowing that one of these days I will reap with joy. It's not a maybe. It's an absolute, and I know this. And let me show you this. 1 Corinthians 15. Amen. Well, if you're not familiar with 1 Corinthians 15, I mean, get you a notebook out and just go verse by verse and you just start filling in blanks. It is a beautiful, beautiful chapter. Man, oh man. Verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up and with what body do they come? Thou fool. Amen. That which thou, look at that word, what was that word there? You know what that word sow is? That's seed. That which thou sowest is not quickened except it what? My dad had diabetes. He had a pacemaker. He had lost about 3 or 4 toes to diabetic ulcers. He hobbled when he walked. He fell quite often and would break bones. And really struggled with that for a long time. 2, sometimes 3 shots of insulin a day, checking blood sugar 5 times a day. And we knew that at some point he was not going to live. And there are those who will tell you that, oh, you didn't have enough faith to have your dad healed. Listen, I had exactly enough faith to know that my dad is healed right now. Amen. He has no diabetes. Yep. He has a new body that God has given him. Okay? That will never be corrupt ever again. Okay? That's how much faith he had. It's how much faith I have. In verse 37, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. May chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, to every seed his own body. And then I want you to look in verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is what? Look at the word that the Holy Ghost is using right here. What word is that? Sown. So we sowed seed. Okay? We sowed seed. Okay? We planted. My dad always called them acorns. And my wife would make fun of me for saying acorn. Well, that's how my dad said it, acorns. They were acorns. And we sowed an acorn out in that, on that hill next to that church. Okay? And I'll tell you something. I hope that I just happen to be standing there when the dead in Christ shall rise first. Even if it's just for a twinkling of an eye. I hope I'm saying. And if not, that's fine. I'll see him again. Okay? It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. My dad did some dishonorable things. Okay? And his son has too. My son has too. Will do. Hey, Dad. Yeah, amen. All of them. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. My dad could not raise himself from the dead. Neither could he save himself. Neither could he shed off his 905 beer. Yeah. Amen. My dad never drank hard liquor. Never saw him drunk ever. One time. But he would bring home 905 beer by the case. Okay? It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. And I tell you what, I like that. Brady, where is that? Where are we going? Hebrews 4. Thanks for telling me it was Hebrews 7. Another thing that God began to deal with me about is being a minister. Being a minister. I've had to bury people that I didn't know. I've had to bury people that I know. And none of them has affected me like this one. It's pretty easy to be on the other side of a weeping family and minister good things to them and say good things at a funeral service and do, you know, the work of a minister. That is what we're called to do. We're called to be a benefit and a blessing to people in their weakest moment. And there is no weaker time than death, I can tell you that. And one of the things that was really hitting me hard Saturday at the funeral, and some of you people saw this, was that I kept telling them, I should be up there behind that pulpit today doing somebody's funeral. I'm not, you know, being down here, I don't like this part. And I don't. But I can tell you that all the things that that have befallen me in my life, whether it's just been the loss of loved ones or the failures of life, even my own sinfulness, all of those things, God has a way of taking things that the devil means to you for evil and turning them into God meaning something for good. Can I hear you say amen? And the more I serve God, the more I like that, and I won't serve another God that will not be that way to me. My God is very, very good to me. And before God can deal with this church about something, he's going to deal with me about it. He's going to rake me. He's not going to just say, Mike, preach this and go get him. He's going to rake me over the coals with it and deliver it hard and mean to me. And then I can do that here. God did not call a perfect pastor to this church. And I can stand here and confess to you that I am very, very imperfect. I'm made out of the same dirt that my dad was, and his dad was, and his dad was. And the same dirt that you are. If you had a pastor up here behind this pulpit that always treated you like he was better off than you were, I'll tell you, don't stay. Just leave him. Let him preach to somebody that's better than you are. Amen? But anyway, one of the things that touched me about the law, and I'm almost done, one of the things that blessed me one time in reading the law, you ought to read the law every now and then too and make notes on it. I mean, it's good stuff, okay? Now it's stuff that's boring, okay? But the law of sacrifice was, let's say that Bradley and Megan, they come up one day and they had a sacrifice, okay? And they were offering a sacrifice for their sins, an atonement for their sins. And when they brought that to the priest was required by the law, before he could offer an atonement for their sins, He had to take a portion of that and offer an atonement for his own. His first. That prevented the Levite priest, as he sees Brad and Megan walking up, that prevents him from going, "What have you guys been doing? Huh? Sinning, huh? I don't know if I'll do this or not." See, God actually wrote it into the law that the priest was actually no better than everybody else. It's no different. Roman Catholicism says that when a priest, when a Roman Catholic priest becomes a priest and he takes that vow of celibacy, that God gives him a superpower that he never wants to be with a woman or a man ever. Okay? And it just sets him apart from everybody else, and God gives him a little superpower. That's not true. It doesn't work. Okay? And a priest will always look down his nose at everybody and how sinful they are. But anyway, verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. How many say amen? Before you read anything else, say amen to that. He is a great high priest. Amen? That is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Now I believe in God's saving grace. Okay? But God gave us a spiritual hand to hold fast. Don't ever forget that. Amen? Don't ever let go. Remember that what I was showing you the other day about your Bible? Okay? I told him, I said, "You grab a hold of that Bible and hold it real tight." And I said, don't let me have it. I tried to pull it out of his hands, and he just kept jerking back. And I said, "Come on, let go of it." He wouldn't do it. I said, "That's what it means to keep it. Don't ever let, hold fast." How do you hold fast a profession? Don't let the Bible college take it away from you. Amen? Verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Jesus wept. You know what he's doing? He's sowing in tears. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly, Bradley, unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Somebody out of this church called me today, and they were crying, and they said, "Pastor, I know I shouldn't be calling you, but I just needed somebody to talk to." And I said, "Go ahead." And they talked, and they cried, and they talked. And I said, "Let me tell you how God's been helping me this week." You see how this, boys, don't you ever forget that. As long as you're ever in the ministry, don't you ever forget how God deals with you and how God works with you. And all your failures are going to turn out to be blessings for the people that you minister to. Don't you ever forget that. But I have a different perspective now of being a minister over someone's loss, someone's need, or whatever it is. I get it. You see, everybody's putting their arm around me saying, "Oh, Pastor Mike, you know he's in, you know this." And that's the thing. I know all of that. I know all the words. I know all the nice sayings. And listen, I'm not unappreciative. Okay? I'm glad I've got people around me that'll do that. Okay? But now I know what they mean. Okay? God allowed your pastor to go through this. And I'm still going through it. Somebody, he sent me an email. And if you're watching, I appreciate it. You bless my heart. They said, "Pastor Mike, just remember that grief comes in waves. And to start off, those waves hit pretty frequently. And after a while, they lessen and they come, you know, more infrequently, but they still come." It's very, very wise. I don't remember who it was sent it. Very wise, and I appreciated that. And so I was doing pretty good today. He was over at Mom's, and we were just going through some of Dad's stuff. And, you know, it wasn't choking me up. I wasn't, beating the floor, sobbing, but when we came back to the church this afternoon, a wave rolled in. And it's still kind of there now, but God's given me a little bit of grace. And I'll just say this to you. Right now I'm weak. Okay? Tired physically and mentally, but just weak. Okay? And I want you to do something for me. I want you to come around here with me, and I want you to pray with me. And I don't care nothing about God strengthen him. I don't care nothing about that. As long as God is strong for me, I'm fine. Okay? But remember when the wolves show up. Okay? Remember when the devil likes to strike. He does not hit us when we're strong. When we're standing there with a pitcher in one hand and a sword in another, okay, he does not show up then. He cannot handle that. Okay, and if you don't know what Gideon, go read Gideon and you'll get what I'm talking about. Okay? He does not show up then, but he will show up in weakness. Okay? But that is when God is strongest. Okay? So I'm not asking for you to pray. God strengthen, Pastor. That's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you to ask God to show himself strong. For me, for my family, for my mom, for my sister, and all the rest of our family. Trish and all of them, and for this church, okay? That's because I can tell you, he'll try to strike while I'm weak, okay? So anyway, those of you watching, I appreciate it. I love you to death, but I'm going to ask you to let's have an old time prayer here, and just pray that God will show himself strong. Can we do that tonight? Close out the service. All right, appreciate it.